Robinhood Radio presents Flavor Matters with Serge Matakians. He's the owner of Saravan Restaurant in Armenia. If you can't find him in the kitchen or gardens, then follow him either on Facebook or Twitter at Saravan NY.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. This is Serge from Flavor Matters and Saravan Restaurant, and I am in conversation with Sharon Chekhijian, who is a emergency doctor, specialist doctor, teaching and working at Yale University. Sharon, you were telling us about your Fulbright Fellowship scholarship in Armenia and the various projects that you've worked in Armenia, the organ transplant, the general safety of the community. You've had to put on various hats, an urban planner's hat, a public policy hat, a politician hat, a management hat, in addition to maintaining your medical disposition and medical expertise in the various projects that you've worked in Armenia. And you said something very interesting to me, to us in the previous podcast, that since your visit to Armenia in 1991, you feel like you've grown up with Armenia. Do you, because Armenia has gone through such transformation from being a republic, a Soviet republic, and then being really destitute after the fall of the Soviet republic, and now Armenia, especially Yerevan and Gyumri and Gori, they have become such vibrant cities, Dilijan, Lake Sevan. Just for like a minute or two, do you mind telling us and introducing our listeners to what you mean by I've grown up with Armenia?
Sure. You know, as I mentioned before, after the fall of the Soviet Union, you know, Armenia has been on this trajectory for the last, you know, almost 30 years of really exponential growth, just so many exciting things. I can sort of use as an example, maybe the wine industry. You know, Armenia during the time of the Soviet Union produced cognac, and Georgia was tasked with making wine. And as we know now, the oldest winemaking facilities in the world, the oldest vineyards are actually in Armenia, you know, biblical land. It makes sense. And, you know, you may recall that the oldest shoe in the world was found in the same cave with the oldest winemaking equipment in the world. And wine in Armenia was actually made in these ceramic vessels called kuervanes or karas in Armenian. And so that whole industry has really been revived from the seeds up. So, you know, people in Armenia, and I hope you'll have a chance to interview some of these really pioneers in resurrecting winemaking in Armenia. They actually found seeds of indigenous grapes, planted the vines, and over the last 10 years or so have really made vineyards and started producing, I think, really some of the best wine in the world. And I think for wine connoisseurs, Armenia must be like one of the most fascinating destinations, because there's something like, I don't know, over 20, but probably I'm wrong. There may be even more indigenous varieties of grapes that don't exist anywhere in the world. And so I think there are some, you know, fascinating flavors and different things that are coming out of Armenia. So I use this as an example just to show you the type of sort of inventiveness and energy that's in the country right now. And I, you know, I feel really privileged, as I told you in the last segment, to sort of year by year see what those changes have been. So, you know, I've seen the vineyards planted in their infancy. I've tasted the first harvest. I've seen wine in Boston, you know, an export. I've seen Armenia winning, you know, at wine competitions around the world, starting to export to Japan, to Russia. And then not just, you know, one vineyard, but now 30 different vineyards. So you can just, I think because it's such a small country, you can kind of get a grasp of what's happening in the country. And you can magnify that now in every area, you know, in restaurants, in hotel development, in
tech industry,
in technology. You know, there are startups that are going from their infancy now to employing 700 people, 800 people. And so Armenia has really become like a little Silicon Valley of the Caucasus as well.
Exactly. And for me, just on a personal note, I know that when I went to Armenia, my sense of being an Armenian was, of course, very, very vividly and strongly and visibly fortified. But then there was also a bit of a confusion for me, because all of a sudden, this idea is a reality. I'm walking the streets, I'm experiencing the aesthetics, I'm hearing the various dialects of the different regions of Armenia. And it's really piqued my curiosity, hence this podcast. So I feel that there is a new reinvigoration of understanding what Armenia means and what being an Armenian, when I say I'm an Armenian, what that means for me. I'm wondering how that may have evolved for you.
Yeah, it's interesting when you say, you know, when you say that, it kind of brings to mind a story that my dad once told me about Israel. You know, that there was a man who was going to Israel for the first time, a Jewish man, and he saw a prostitute in Tel Aviv. And this is a true story. And he said to the taxi driver, you know, how could that be? You know, this is a Jewish nation and that person must be Jewish, but they're a prostitute. And the taxi driver said, you know, we're a nation. We have everybody here. We have prostitutes, we have businessmen, we have doctors. And I always have that same feeling in Armenia. I mean, there's nothing monolithic about an Armenian. There's not one type of Armenian. There's everybody because we're a nation now. And so you have, you know, good and bad. You have everybody. You have every segment of society represented. And I think that's so important to remember. And I think that's kind of strange for a diasporan Armenian who's grown up in a very homogenous diasporan community. And, you know, and one thing also that Armenians in the diaspora have always been really in Muslim countries for the most part. And so they've always sort of had this tradition of upholding values, you know, that are important to the society, like honesty, integrity. So these are things that are very important, I think, to diasporan Armenians. You know, they want to be exemplary sort of minority citizens in the countries that they're in. And that's a little bit different than actually being immersed in a society where you have every type of person.
Yes, you just reminded me, I need to say this, you just reminded me a very sad feeling when I was in Armenia in 2007, and I saw this very beautiful Armenian young woman walking the streets at 10, and my heart just sank because I knew why she was walking the streets of Yerevan. And I think, so you just reminded me of that experience and my walk. I think what makes our Yerevan, especially Yerevan and Gyumri, the two big cities, really fascinating is that a lot of Armenians have gone back from diaspora, have gone back to Armenia. So now you have Armenians that have excelled in other countries where they were born, be it Syria, Iran, America, France, Germany, Austria. And they're back in Yerevan or Gyumri and starting a business, or Switzerland. I met a gentleman that has decided to go back from Switzerland to Armenia. And I find Armenia to be such a wonderful melting pot of all these Armenians that have come to Armenia, and they are discovering their own Armenian sense, but also discovering it imbued with the cultures in which they were living.
You're right, Serge, and you can just think about, you know, over the last, I don't know, 15 years or so, Armenia has really, in a way, benefited from all the instability in the Middle East. And we had this huge influx of refugees coming from Syria who speak Western Armenian. And we were talking about that in the first segment of the podcast. And they came with their own cuisine, which I'm sure is intriguing to you as a chef. And we can talk a little bit about that. And now we're seeing people coming from Beirut. And so you're right, it's sort of a diaspora and melting pot at this point. And Armenia's become so much richer because of it, not just in terms of, you know, restaurants, which has been fantastic. I mean, I think having that Middle Eastern cuisine has been eye-opening for a lot of Armenians whose ancestors came, you know, from Middle Eastern countries after the genocide. And all of those cuisine traditions were kind of lost during the Soviet Union, which had its own cuisine, which That's was right. pretty widespread.
That's right. And then also the Soviet era imposed limitations onto the Armenian food creativity and the way Armenians ate because of the availability of ingredients and the restrictions of what was available and what was not available. We have about 4 minutes left in our conversation, and I want you to, I would love to finish this segment with the story of your mother-in-law who had to call the emergency service of Armenia. I'll let you tell the story. We have just about 3 minutes.
Yeah, so you had asked me, I think when we talked before this podcast, about how things might be different in emergency services in Armenia. You know, do people have different ways of treating patients, et cetera. And it made me recall a story where I was in Armenia and my mother-in-law had not seen a lot of me, I think, because I was busy working on the project. And somebody called me and said she had called 911 and they were at the house and could I go by and check on her? And so I did. And when I got there, actually, I was so surprised because the doctors from 911 were in her living room and she was serving them tea. And they were all sitting in chairs and they were conversing with her. And they knew actually all about me. So she had called, you know, thinking that her blood pressure was elevated. But really, I think it was sort of a way of interacting with me and getting me to the house, but also somehow interacting with the emergency system that she knew I was working with. And, you know, when I sat down to check on her, it was kind of interesting because the physicians had really grasped that everything was actually fine. And that she just needed a visit. And so they were visiting with her. And I sat down and in turn visited with them. And then they were, you know, able to sort of leave her in my care. And I was really touched because I think we don't have that option, you know, here in the US where we're sort of channeled into protocols and, you know, medics going out to the house and bringing the person to the hospital. And, you know, here was an example where they entered into somebody's house and understood immediately what the situation was. And I like to think that that sort of personal touch goes along with every interaction that they have, actually.
I have one question. Did she serve you guys nazuk?
No, because nazuk is not traditionally served in Yerevan. So
I know, they call it gata.
Yeah, gata. So it's interesting because Persian Armenians are looking for nazuk, just like I think Armenians from Beirut and from Syria are looking for things like paklava when they arrive in Armenia. And up until very recently, they didn't find those things. But really,
I love that story because I think that's something that would only happen in Armenia, you know. And I want to finish with this, that there was an evening, late evening, it was a Sunday night. This is about 3 years ago. There was a gentleman that was sitting on his own and he was, you know, as you know, I like to go and thank everyone who's joined us. And I went and I thanked the table and the gentleman that was eating on his own was the last person that I said thank you. And I noticed that he had ordered the nazuk that has become such a popular dessert at Yerevan. You don't know how happy that makes me. So I went and I said, oh, thank you very much for, you know, I hope you're enjoying the nazuk. She goes, yeah. He goes, yes, it's very delicious, except I know it as gata. So right away, I knew that he was an Armenian from Armenia.
That's funny, Serge. And I remember actually visiting your restaurant, maybe it was even, I don't know, over 15 years ago, and you had nothing on the menu. And I knew you were Armenian when I arrived at the restaurant with another group of Armenians. And, you know, James Tufinkin, who has a house right in the area where you have your restaurant and where you live. And we knew you were Armenian, and we arrived at the restaurant, and there was maybe one trace of Armenianness on the menu. And now over the years, you know, I've noticed that you're incorporating things more and more into your menu that kind of remind you of your childhood or dishes that you've had or that you're reworking. And I know during the pandemic, I think that became even more pronounced because you were cooking for people to take things back to their home. And so you wanted things to be homey. And so I've noticed those things sneaking into your menu. I don't know if you have any
comments. As I told you, my visit to Armenia has surely invigorated my sense of being an Armenian. And I remember about 3 years ago, I woke up and I said, listen, you're an Armenian from Iran. What are you doing cooking with your traditional French technique cooking? You know, there's this whole other cuisine that exists. And why don't you express yourself through that medium rather than my traditional cooking techniques that I had been taught because of all the chefs that I work with in New York City? Sharon, I feel like I can have 10 more segments with you. I surely hope that we will get to see each other more. There is so much more that I feel I can learn from you. An extract about Armenia and the beauty of Armenia and all the positive ways in which Armenia is growing. And I want to thank you, not only from my own heart, on behalf of many other Armenians, for all the hard work that you have been doing in Armenia.
Thank you, Serge. It was a pleasure to talk to you today.
Thank you so much. This is Serge from Serevan Restaurant and Flavor Matters. And I had the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Sharon Chekichian, who is an assistant professor of emergency medicine at Yale. Thank you for tuning in.
Flavor Matters is a joint production of the Serevan Restaurant and Robin Hood Radio. For more information on the Serevan Restaurant in Amenia, New York, serevan.com on the web.